Exciting news. Gettle is now the official HVAC partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Keeping things cool on the ice and warm at home. Gettle, your trusted HVAC and plumbing partner. Visit Gettle.com/ducks for exclusive promotions. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell.
Coast to coast, nonstop action. This is the premier source for National Hockey League news. Scores, highlights, and the Anaheim Ducks. It's time to light the lamp with Alexis Downey.
I'm happy to be joined today by Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting. Dan, thanks so much for taking the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. My pleasure to join you.
So just to give our listeners a bit of background about yourself, you've been in a scouting role for a very long time, starting with Toronto and then going to Atlanta. But how did you get into scouting?
Well, hockey has its own pathways, and mine is unique, but it's been done before by others. But I actually graduated from college as an athletic trainer. And I started with the Toronto Marlies in the what's now the Ontario Hockey League, graduated up to work with the Leafs. So I was 9 years as a trainer in the Leaf organization and 9 years a scout. And just I was in the kind of right place, right time, like any occupation. The Leafs scouting staff were retirement age. They were looking to make changes. But I knew the junior players quite well. I worked with the junior team. I saw a lot of games. I worked with Hockey Canada at summer camps. So I was pretty vocal with the Leafs and some of their selections on who they took and who they should have taken. And then they just asked me one time, would I consider scouting? They thought I might be good at it. So that led to me scouting with the Leafs. I became the scouting coordinator. Don Waddell and Atlanta Thrashers offered me the head scout job when they came in the league. So I was like the third person in for 13 years, enjoyed every minute of it. And I think the third person left when the franchise was relocated to Winnipeg. And at that time, the NHL asked if I'd be interested in the open position with Central Scouting, unfortunately, after E.J. McGuire passed. So one thing led to another, and I've been with the NHL since 2011.
And over that time, there's been, you know, a lot of changes to the game of hockey. How do you think that's changed the way scouting is for teams and for the league?
Well, the lockout and the resultant change in rules kind of sped the game up. And that was the intent, and it made a big difference on the scouting side initially, to where size was less of an influence. So smaller players got a better opportunity. We've now evolved to where it's just good players get the opportunity and get drafted regardless of size. And, you know, the pandemic really brought into light having to do remote scouting, video scouting, and it kind of forced the teams that hadn't jumped fully on board onto the analytics train. But analytics is information, and you need to have the experience and wisdom on what to do with that information. So every team has their own, let's call it their own secret recipe going into the draft, and how do they utilize analytics for their benefit. And we all go around now, the key ingredients with the scouting is, first, you need to be able to skate. Nobody's going to draft a project skater anymore. So skating is, like one of those automatics that has to be part of any player's attributes, but it's the hockey sense and compete now that take up the front and center stage. And you want to have smart players who can read and react quickly, see the ice well, anticipate well. But you also want to have the players that know how to compete with their speed, compete with their smarts, compete with their skills. So it's there's no science to drafting. And every scout learns from their mistakes, just the same as the players do. And every club has their own formula for what they look for in an NHL draft prospect. So there's 32 different formulas in play in Central Scouting. We have our own. And I can tell you our formula, we focus entirely on what the player does on the ice. Mm. We don't interview players. We don't get involved in any outside or off ice items that may be brought to the attention, because as you're very familiar, during the draft year, everything gets hyper exaggerated and blown a little bit out of proportion, mm-hmm. but it's up to the teams to do that, that more in-depth look at the players, just because it's important that for them to know that who they're going to be drafting and bringing into their organization.
So for your team, how many people are a part of it, and what does, you know, scouting throughout the year look like? Obviously you mentioned just focusing on the players on the ice. I mean, there's so many players around. So how do you guys spread out and scout?
Well, we have 11 full-time staff, 3 are full-time in the office, and Central Scouting is actually 3 parts. We have the scouting side, information resources, which the office group handles, and the combine, to which the office group also plays a big part in. Mm. And with our scouting, we break it down into areas. We have a full-time scout responsible for areas. We have 2 in the U.S., basically in East and West. We have 2 in Western Canada, one that covers the U.S. and West Coast, one covers the Midwest. We have a full-time scout in Ontario, a full-time scout in Quebec, and we have a goalie specialist, Al Jensen, who focuses on the goalies. Mm. And then I go out and try and focus on the players in the top 3 rounds as we all kind of come together at the end of the year to put a list in play. But each scout is responsible for his area. And one of the resources that we started with the clubs, this is my 2nd or 3rd year, and it was a players to watch list, which it's a valuable tool for the clubs and for us, to where we just give a grade, an ABC, A indicating a first round candidate, B 2nd, 3rd round, C 4th, 5th round. And we do this on the underage players, the future players. Mm. So already for next year's draft, for example, we've been scouting. So during the season, our instruction is, if there is an underage player who'll be draft eligible next year and he pops at you in the game for whatever reason, because of his skills, because of the play in the game, the results, file a report and give him a grade. Mm. And as a staff, we review this at the end of the season with our meetings. So like, we already have created a hit list for the 2025 draft, but where we're fortunate is USA Hockey holds a Select 17 camp where they bring in 150 or so of the top players from the U.S. to have a camp. Hockey Canada brings in the top 40 players from Canada at the U18 camp. Both Canada and U.S. hold World Junior camps. So we get to see these players that are eligible for 2025 during the summer. And this is where we kind of fine tune our preliminary grade that we give them. And then there's a lot of showcase tournaments at the start of the year at the Tier 2 level, at the USHL level. And we wait till the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season have gone by, and we release our players to watch for that 2025 draft class. And then we do that in October. So we already have a head start each year. And that's key to putting a draft list together. However, we did miss that last summer going into the 2024 draft. Hockey Canada didn't hold any camps, so we were a little behind going into the season, but we covered the ground well. Mm-hmm. We think we're well prepared to put our list together, and our rankings have been out there.
As far as the analytics, you mentioned that has a role in obviously the game, but for you guys as a group,
Does that impact, you know, your scouting and your rankings as well?
It doesn't impact the rankings. What we use it for, like, you know, certainly it has an influence, but what we use it for is to confirm what our group consensus is on a player, whether, you know, if we think he's deficient without the puck or certain areas need to improve. We'll look to the analytics to see if that's confirming what we think we saw and what we've reported on. So we use it to confirm a positive on a player, but also to confirm a negative. Mm-hmm. And then that gets factored into when we put the list together and start slotting the players around.
Well, that list came together, the final rankings, just last week on the 16th. As far as the evaluation process, is it you all in a room talking about all the different players, or what does that look like right leading up to it?
Well, Central Scouting, we are a little unique because our scouts cross over full time. We have to put seven rounds together. A lot of NHL clubs, they go into the draft with a list of about 100 plus names, where, you know, we have to put a list together of 224 names. Mm-hmm. And that requires the crossover. We need to have the views to be able to put that list together. So what we do, and this is, again, the advent of the pandemic, it saved us some time. We put an area list together via Zoom calls. Mm. So we'll have all our staff on. We'll let the Western scouts present the Western list in their order based on their knowledge, because they see the players the most. But then we discuss it as a group, and we may tweak it a little bit. And then we move on to Quebec, Ontario. We have a U.S. East and a U.S. West list. We have a Canadian and U.S. Tier 2 midget high school list. So we put all those areas in an order based on consensus via Zoom calls. And then we gather our final meetings. We always hold them in the NHL offices in Toronto. Everyone comes into town. And we've got it down to where it's 6 days worth of meetings. Mm. And we're all in the same room. So as you can appreciate, we over time, you develop respect for others' opinions, because you're certainly not going to agree on players. And you have to kind of discuss it and talk it through. But there's the value of the in-person meetings. You can have a sidebar conversation as you're walking back to the hotel, or you go out for lunch or for dinner. It's all those face-to-face meetings where you kind of cut through what you want to make your point on the various players and help put that list together. But what we do is, it's a simple, we have in our system, we call it the meeting manager. And the top player from each of those area lists shows up, and we take a vote, we put them in order, and the top player goes on the list. Then we shuffle the deck again. The next player comes over from the player that got on the board from his league. And we just continue that process. And we start at where we'll do the top 10. Then we'll just sit and look at that order to see if anybody has any strong opinions on it. But then typically we'll go and we'll do the first round. Then we'll stop and look at it and talk about it some more. And then we add more names. We continue to add more names and take a stop and just go through it. But after we get three rounds up on the board, and I think everyone in hockey acknowledges the top three rounds are where the majority of players end up coming to the National Hockey League from. Mm-hmm. We go back and then we really dissect, you know, this player's at the bottom of the first. Is there someone at the top of the second that you think should be in that place? And we go through all the rounds, and then we continue on and do that right to the very end. But one of the aspects for Central Scouting, our mandate is we scout the players during the regular season, preseason and regular season. We do not scout playoffs, world championships, because not all the players participate in playoffs and world championships. So ours is a view of the players on an equal footing, that's all on their based on their regular season play. And by the time you get to playoffs, the NHL clubs have a good idea where they're going to be picking. Mm-hmm. They're focused in on the players. They really don't need any additional input or information from Central Scouting because, like I said, they all have their own process that works for them going into the draft. But what we try and do on our final list is we'll kind of move a player up that we think is trending in that direction. And there's a lot of players that have strong finishes and they've shown that improvement and that accelerated development in the second half. And we try and recognize that on our list. And, you know, there's a number of players that this year in particular made significant moves up on the final ranking, which don't typically happen on a regular basis, but we do have a real in-depth discussion as to who we think the players are that are trending in the right direction.
In talking about those final rankings, who are some of those players that were able to make those later season jumps?
Well, the one that kind of popped the most for us was Michael Hage, who played with Chicago in the USHL. He finished in the top 10. He had been 19 on our midseason ranking. And he'd missed most of the previous year with injury. So we didn't have as many reports on him from the previous year. And his team got off to a slow start. Mm-hmm. But when you watch Chicago play, when you focused on him, you could see the talent there. But in the second half, he just kind of put the team on his back and they were out of the playoffs and he helped carry them, get them into playoff contention. He was one of their true leaders every game, but he's a complete package as far as NHL projection goes with his skills, his attributes and compete. He was competing a little too hard at times in the second half that earned him a suspension or two, which a lot of scouts don't like it when they've got that game scheduled and they go into town and he's not playing, but I actually had a little discussion with him about that. but he's the type of player that NHL teams covet in the lineup. And another player that moved up significantly was a Finnish player who came over to play in Everett in the World Hockey or in the WHL, Julius Miettinen. And he was a big guy that was a bit of a rough skater. He needed to skate to improve the skating, but his skating was not a liability. So he was on everybody's radar right from the Hlinka-Gretzky tournament last summer. A big guy with good hands. And, you know, if the skating picked up, it would be quite interesting to see what he did. Well, he took off in the second half. We had him in at the prospects game. They did the on-ice testing, and when you kind of look through those scores there, you're saying, okay, he doesn't seem to be as bad a skater as what he may look like. But he ended up first-year player in the league, went along at almost a point a game, but 30-goal score. But in the second half, like, nobody was really questioning his skating because he's a 6'3", 200-pound centerman who can play the wing and he can drive to the net. He's hard to stop, hard to check. And just the way he impacted in the second half, it drew a lot of attention from scouts. I know a lot of scouts were changing their schedules to go in and see Everett play at the end. But those are two guys that kind of made significant moves.
And just a reminder that we have exciting news. Gettle is now the official HVAC partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Keeping things cool on the ice and warm at home. Gettle, your trusted HVAC and plumbing partner. Visit Gettle.com/ducks for exclusive promotions. G-O-E-T-T-L, we make comfort easy to spell.
And when you look at the rankings for the North American skaters, obviously Macklin Celebrini getting that number one spot this year. Was that an easy decision amongst you guys?
It was unanimous.
yeah.
When you have a player like that who game in and game out rises to the occasion, and he's been doing it all along as the youngest player on his team, every mm-hmm. team he's been on. And so, you know, the best is yet to come. His season was very reminiscent of what Adam Fantilli did last year. And, you know, I have no doubt that he's going to be a solid NHL player. He's a high character, low maintenance type. And he deserved to be in the number one spot, and he didn't do anything to lose it. And none of the others kind of achieved that same level to take the number one spot away from him. So like it was, mm-hmm. it was unanimous. He's not a player you have to go and spend a lot of time watching games mm-hmm. just because he's so consistent at what he does and what he delivers.
A number of defensemen in the higher rankings for the North American Skaters. When you look at some of those guys, anything that stands out, you know, from their game, just knowing that there's a number of them in the top rankings?
Well, the three, like we have Siliev on the European side, but Levshunov, Boehm, and Perek on the North American side, and even Dickinson in London. They're all like top 10 candidates for the draft, but they all bring a different element to the game, which was very intriguing, but it was a lot of fun going to watch these guys play. Mm. And it was tough to kind of come up with the order. One of the exercises that we would do at our final meetings, we would ask the question out of these players, like who would be the one you'd maybe want to try and build your team around? Mm. This year we focused on who do you think his most NHL comparable would be? And the interesting part is, you know, a lot of the comparables that came out were former Norris Trophy winners and Norris Trophy candidates. Mm. So these players are all highly thought of, well thought of, and you can go, we could talk it over again and the order could switch up slightly when one guy would be another, and then the next day it could be back. It was very close, a lot of in-depth discussion on it. And as you're aware, you know, Anaheim has had a very successful track record at selecting defensemen in recent years. It's mm-hmm. actually allowed them to build up their depth chart. It's allowed them to make some trades to improve their lineup. So I'll be curious to see what Anaheim thinks of this defense crew.
Me too. Looking forward to once we get a little closer to the draft on that end, looking at each of those players as well, talking to our scouts. But is there anything that makes this draft class unique when you compare it to other years?
Well, what stands out, and this is, you know, when I talk to scouting directors and general managers, is that the top end of this draft, like the first round and a half, there are going to be some really quality NHL players come out, mm-hmm. but there's not the depth in the later rounds of the draft. And I've kind of pitched it to the general managers that, like, you know, this is where you have some area scouts or some bird dog guys that are really strong on a player. This might be the year where you could take a flyer on that diamond in the rough if you know, your staff are convinced in their projections on the player. So it's going to be interesting to see which teams find and come up with those diamonds in the rough in the later rounds. And I anticipate that they'll continue to be the trend where more 19-year-olds get taken as we move along in the draft, like players that have been once through or twice through the draft. There are a lot of 05s that had really good years this year, and there's some 04s that have had some outstanding years. So the teams aren't shy to go back there. We've been on a trend for almost the last decade, like close to 20% of the draft now consists of players that have been through the draft once. So I think this year it's going to have that same degree of interest as we move along later in the draft. And then there's always the case for when you draft a Russian prospect with just the limited viewing opportunities to see these players play. Mm-hmm. But one of the interesting points I made at a recent general managers meeting is that when we look back at, We look at draft tendencies from the clubs, and the past 3 years have had the highest amount of Russian players ever drafted. Mm. And this is, you know, pandemic and restricted travel, restricted viewing. So the analytics and the video scouting's really going strong when it comes to the Russian prospects.
With the upcoming scouting combine, how does that impact your group? I mean, obviously being there too, but, you know, what goes into that for your staff?
Well, we're headstrong right now. It's all systems go. We have 100 players invited. Some are still in competition, so it's a little hard to get a hold of them. But we need to get the players registered. We need to know where they're going to be traveling from. We have to present travel itineraries to the player and their agents. We're dealing with the NHL clubs to find out who they want to interview at the combine. And this is how we determine who gets invited. We let the NHL clubs notify us in a survey. Who do you want to have at the combine for interviews? And, you know, there's a certain threshold of interview requests a player needs to get to be invited. And we have 100 attending this year. We have to do all the vendor agreements with the groups that come in and perform the testing. We get the best in class people to come in with their equipment. We utilize the strength coaches from the American Hockey League teams to come in and administer the tests. And this is all done through in conjunction with the NHL Head Strength Coach Association. So there's a lot of moving parts here. We deal with the Sabres, Buffalo. They're a terrific host. We have to have the building prepared, the hotel set up. We do the interviews at the KeyBank Arena. There's catering to feed the players and the staff at lunch and dinner and breakfast. So there's a lot of moving parts, and we just have a lot on our plate right now. And we're just rolling along here. But, you know, the cooperation, the clubs appreciate the fact, the way we set it up at Buffalo. It's all under one roof. In Central Scouting, our list is done. So we're just sitting there. We're hosting the players. We're their first introduction to the National Hockey League. We want them to come in and have a fun week with us. But what I do find interesting is that we spend a week with these players. And then, as I mentioned, we just focus on the on ice. We don't do interviews. And after spending some time with the players, we say, he may not go as high, or he's probably going to go higher than what we thought. And it's just, this is where the interviews, it depends on how much weight you want to put on them. They can throw you off in a good way or in a negative way. And it's just something that the teams, they have their own experience in dealing with it, because some players are just not social. They're not comfortable in interview situations. And, you know, our teams, you know, we make sure they don't turn into interrogations or bullying type things. We want the players to enjoy themselves, to be comfortable, and the teams embrace that. To the players, they normally come away, they really enjoy their time at combine. But you can see there's some 17, 18 year olds that are going on 16, and there's some that are going on 25. And, you know, so everyone matures at a different way, both physically and as a person. And this is where the interviews help the team sort through all of that.
Do you have an example of a player that when the draft time came around that ended up going higher than you guys were, you know, expecting or surprised about, maybe after seeing how those interviews went?
You know what? I don't think I can go down that path with you, because it could be taken the wrong way by the club that did draft the player. So I'm going to have to decline to answer that.
Yeah, that's
I might
okay.
get into trouble.
That's okay. You guys obviously are very, very busy, but also at the same time, exciting for you to be able to sit back and look at everything, you know, at the scouting combine as it happens. Come the draft, what does it look like for your group? You finally get to sit back and look at your work again, or is it still a busy time?
It's not busy for us, because we don't have to draft the players. We work with NHL Central Scouting we're the start of the NHL's eco information system. So we're the one that collects all the initial information on the players. It gets loaded into the central registry system from where contracts are managed into the health management system. So what we do, because the draft is computerized, the teams make their selection from a draft database system from laptops at their tables. We work with central registry we pre-approve the players. So we confirm that, yes, they are eligible for the draft. And there are some disputes on some players that have been through the draft, some that have played pro in Europe, and some that have moved and played some hockey in North America and some in Europe. So we pre-approve approximately 800 players. And then we give the NHL clubs an opportunity at the combine. If there's a player that's not in our pre-approved database and they want to consider him for the draft, they have the potential to add that name to the database. And it's done in a way where if team A wants to add player XYZ, then that player XYZ would get added to that team's database only. It doesn't go to all 32 teams. Mm-hmm. So some team may think they have a player in their back pocket, mm-hmm, and they want to make sure he's on the list. What makes it burdensome for us is that they'll put 10 names in to hide that one. But that's just the competitive nature of the game. But, you know, we add the players. So this is to not have any delay on draft day. There are incidences where teams can add a player at the draft. It's strongly discouraged, but the odd time it does, and mm-hmm, they come up to our table with central registry, we enter the player into the system so that their name will display on the board, but the team is entirely responsible for his eligibility at that point. We will not pre-approve prior to the selection, and if it turns out that the player wasn't eligible, then they would lose that pick. So we encourage everyone to do that at the start. And then we're just there. Sometimes there's just some last minute questions from the teams. They often ask us what'd you think of this kid at the combine? What'd you think of his personality? And they talk to us about the rankings, but for the most part, they've got their list in order. It is curious though, after the first round, going into the second day, before the second day starts, there's a lot of questions that come our way because there's certainly players that were left and weren't drafted that teams thought would be gone. And now they're sitting there looking at that name and I think they just want to try and reconfirm their position on the mm-hmm player. So sometimes they'll ask us what our thoughts are on that player on the second day. But for the most part, we just listen to the teams make their selections and we mark it off on our own list, check the names off as we go along.
Certainly has to be a gratifying time for your group to see all your hard work come to fruition at the draft as well, Dan. But we appreciate you taking the time today. This is awesome to learn more about how the central scouting process works, and we're looking forward to the draft.
Well, thank you very much for your time as well, and we'll see everybody in Las Vegas.
And get your home cozy with Gettle Rejuvenation for just $129. We'll prep your HVAC for the season so you're ready to cheer on our Ducks. Call 866-671-9822 or visit Gettle.com/Ducks. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.